Planeta bolilor rare.
Hello, I'm Dan Alexandru and I welcome you to another edition of the Planet of Rare Diseases. Today, we would like to invite you to the third part of the event organized by EURORDIS dedicated to the initiation of a European network of parliamentary advocates for rare diseases, juggling care and daily life, the balancing act of the rare disease community, that took place on Tuesday, the 17th of October, from 15:30 to 17:30 at the European Parliament in Brussels. The goal of this initiative is to mobilize a group of European politicians who are keen to engage and support the cause of rare diseases and to take actions at the EU level. EURORDIS, or Rare Disease Europe, is a unique non-profit alliance of over 700 rare disease patient organizations from more than 60 countries that work together to improve the lives of the 30 million people living with a rare disease in Europe. This network is aimed in the first instance at the members of the European Parliament, with further plans to extend its reach to national MPs. Its core missions are to engage politicians in discussions on how to address specific challenges faced by people living with a rare disease in EU member states and to shape political input for future legislation and programs, ensuring that rare diseases are made an integral part of EU, national and regional programs in health, research and social affairs.
Lisa Murphy from Sweden.
Thank you. And it was very unintentional, not switching off my alarm clock. It was not a sort of wake-up call at this moment, so I profusely apologize.
You're let off with a cushion. It's all right.
Thank you. So we will have some pictures of me and my dear father, because in my family we have a rare disease. It's my father, my son and myself. We have a disease called the Marfan syndrome. And we are patients at times. And like all of us at one time or another, we are patients. But I must really stress that it's quite different to be a rare patient. To me, it meant, just like you mentioned, this lady, I wasn't diagnosed until I was 25. This is quite common. To me, it also meant that I had very poor vision then, less than 20%, and I could not do many things. When I was younger, I could never see a blackboard at school. I could never see people's expressions on their faces unless they were very, very close, which meant mum and dad, and then my brother. It meant that I could not see the number on a bus, so I had to go for 2 miles to find a bus stop where only my bus stopped, because otherwise I wouldn't get to school. So it's these practical things that are a bit, that takes up an awful lot of our time. So up until then, that was that, but to me being diagnosed was extremely dramatic and also part of a cure. When I was 25, I wanted to have lenses, so I went to the physician. And you know, I mean, many of us have glasses, and you know, they put the goggles on you and you put new lenses on, and the physician said, "Oh, Lisa, we'll try this and see how it works." And then I just turned and looked at him and screamed, because he looked like a monster. He looked absolutely awful. And of course, me being quite spontaneous, I told him so. I said, "Oh, there's something wrong here." And he said, "No, Lisa, this is what I look like." So that was that. And he forgave me for being impolite. It was such a shock. So I learned to see. So many of us, I mean, we hope for this miracle. We hope to be diagnosed. We hope to somehow make more sense of our lives, of all the weird things that are happening to us. It's a miracle, a diagnosis, even if it's really bad news, which it is to very many people. It's a life crisis. because after we have a diagnosis, we can find some kind of direction. We can think, maybe because I've been diagnosed, maybe there's some treatment, maybe there are some things I can do to help this, to improve the way I live. We can look for support. The family can start to master that. We can look for another individual who has the same condition, because finding somebody else that can actually understand what you're talking about, and not like in the film that we are not seen, we can see somebody else and there's an immediate recognition. So it's learning how to cope. We of course have great hopes with the ERMs. We have great hopes, because this, the European reference networks, that could help enable us in a way to manage our lives, to have a treatment plan, to have some kind of coordination of all the different things we have to go through. Because if we are not diagnosed, we wander around in the healthcare system and we use up a lot of resources. We don't want to use up any resources. We want to be diagnosed and placed somewhere where we can have aid. And the big challenge for the European reference networks is, of course, to be integrated into the national one. And also to have the social services connected, so it's not all in separate little silos. But the blueprint is here, and we are so grateful for that, really grateful. But we move on. I remember being taken to physicians by my extremely angry mother. All the physicians shook their heads, and sort of my mother walked away being angry. I went to a rheumatologist when I was 20 about all my aches and pains, and he shook his head, and I walked away thinking I was the biggest hypochondriac alive. And this is no wonder we get depressed. No wonder we take it upon ourselves to feel, I'm too fragile. What is this? Why am I complaining? Why can't I walk? All this wandering around is costing, but I give up there. So anyway, we are lost in the system, and then sometimes we feel like pieces of Lego, because when we find a physician, somebody says, let me look at your left toe. Yes, I'll cure that. Never mind the right foot or my legs or whatever. It's never a holistic view. And then you have a row of surgeries and you think, but how this depends on that, which depends on that, etc., etc. So it's not really well done. Also when it comes to social services, because when my son, after very dramatic heart surgery and lots of things happening to him, got a lot of migraines. He, of course, being young and working in a very young and dynamic company, they said, this is cool, go and lie down there for a bit. But he wanted to gradually work more and more and more, which he managed to do. But the social services said, no, you should go and find another job. You have too many computers where you work. Of course you get a migraine working with computers. And the love of his job, that kept him going. That was the one that kept him going. So you can't take away the inner drive of a person and punch him to the floor just to get rid, or think you can get rid of a migraine. We spent hours and weeks on this and being continuously worried. Of course, he got more migraine. Okay. So, all of this, having in the family, this rare disorder we have is a syndrome. And this is also extremely important when it comes to the Lego, because syndromes mean that you have many things being wrong with you. And this is quite typical. It's very typical for a rare disease. And one can ask yourself, am I typical? Am I typical? I would say, yes, but I'm here. I am alive. I have had life-saving surgery. My father was diagnosed, thanks to me being diagnosed. So he could live for another 30 years. So this was good.
Ilse, I'm going to draw you to a close soon.
Yes, I'll mention two more things. Mila and Annika. Mila took care of her dying sister. She got a diagnosis. For 2 years, Mila gradually gave up her job, taking care of her sister, all the administration around that. Her sister passed away. Mila's a relative of mine. Her sister passed away 2015. It has taken nearly 2 years for Mila to bounce back. Now she is a career woman again, but she got ill after that. And the next one, Annalena and Augusta. Augusta has her muscles turning into bone. Annalena and I work with rare disease. She, like many of us, has to get all the information, all the expertise about the disease. She is the one having to pass it on to everybody around Augusta. She has to be the expert on the disease, telling everybody, informing physicians, clinicians, everybody. And this is the job she has to do. So, our life situations are very different here, but it sort of shows a lot. All the different things we have to do that maybe ordinary patients will not have to do. So, we are here all today because we know that creating a big group and finding smarter solutions, finding cooperations, that could really help our lives.
Lisa, thank you so much for that and telling us about it. You're in.
I'm Dan Alexandro and thank you for tuning in to Radio Noros Planet of Rare Diseases show. I hope we will see you again next week.
Ascultă Radio Noro, vocea pacienților.